Okay, are we doing this?
Yeah.
All right. You said you had an intro?
No, for the other topic.
Okay.
When we get to other topic.
Okay, here we go.
We're live! Redcaster, Cho Raven!
Bluecaster, Ishida Zazil!
Blackcaster, Ransack!
Pinkcaster, Legend!
Northcaster, Cell Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai!
Cast Ranger! On air!
Welcome to episode 7 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Tonight we are joined by neither Dave nor Paul, but someone who I believe is arguably greater than the sum of their parts.
They have been currently kidnapped by insert...
Shocker.
Cast Ranger. No. Shocker. By insert Cast Ranger villain here.
We're working Helheim on, Shocker.
We're working on it.
Because Shocker can never stand still.
Well, no. We'll have a Cast Ranger villain. We're just working on it right now.
So. Yeah. Their plot will be explored in Cast Ranger the Summer movie.
Cast Ranger. The new Cast Ranger villain. Tokuger.
Got
no,
it.
No. Wagon.
Cast Ranger villain is TV. They're TV based.
Okay.
We have a podcast.
The only thing more deadly than radio.
Yeah, they're a video podcast.
Yeah, they're vlogs.
They're vlogs.
So our enemy's Derek the Bard?
No.
He just took future vlogs.
No, he's friend of the casters.
Yes.
So. It's like, our greatest enemy, video.
Insert link to all the
Derek
video
is our
YouTube
Phantom
versions
Ranger.
Of the podcast. That's our weapon.
Excuse me.
Insert link to Video Killed the Radio Star song here.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Cue the roll call, bitches!
No.
Too late. It already happened.
It happened.
I love how you
missed
said,
it.
I love how you said no right after you introduced yourself on the roll call.
All right.
Kamen Rider Gaiden!
So, we started out with Kamen Rider Guy, I'm episode 25, as usual, so I'm just going to point randomly at someone, and whoever it is going to start.
And from there, we'll go clockwise, because...
Of course it's going to be me.
And Kevin.
Lose a turn! Fuck!
That's my least favorite thing to talk about.
Man.
So Guy, I'm 25, yeah. Cool shit.
Wait, so is it me?
Yeah, Kevin.
It's me.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Well, he said me and then Kevin, so I was...
No, I said...
Somebody
like,
talk!
It
was that thing in, like, a Wheel of Fortune
right,
game
right,
where
whatever,
you think it's gonna be you, but then it stops at him.
Oh, I see.
Red Caster, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go this way.
All right, then.
Okay, so ignore everything. Go counterclockwise. Whatever. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
All right, edit this shit out. Get the dick out your ear. Go. All
right. This week's episode was pretty interesting. Fair amount of exposition. Which I like to see, really.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing where DJ Sawgrass shows up and confirms everything Ryoma thought was going on.
Now dub him DJ Exposition.
Yes. pretty much the last little while. But yeah, shows up like a boss and then turns out to be a hologram.
Yeah, I was talking to Evan about, can we talk about that? Like, the implications. That might imply he's never been there.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's never actually been there. He's an internet celebrity. He's been talking via webcam the entire time.
It all makes sense now.
For all we know, the civilization devoured by Helheim fruit may have had hologram technology.
They might have. That might explain what DJ Sawgrass is doing.
Well, we've seen him be a hologram in both worlds, so it's really hard to understand exactly what's going on right now.
He just doesn't want to actually go anywhere himself. He likes sitting in his comfy little chair where he's broadcasting.
No, you watch. He'll pull, like, a director thing where every time you've seen him up to a certain point has been a hologram, and then when they reach, like, the center of, like, the ancient temple where the golden fruit is, him will be there, and then he'll reveal his actual form.
Yeah, probably.
Calling that on record...
That's actually probably a very good thing that's... Yeah, that's probably happening.
Okay. Yeah. Any other points to talk about?
Not especially. I personally don't care much for Bravo as a character, so the rest of the episode was kind of lost on me for that one.
Who doesn't like...
I didn't think that was possible!
Started? Yeah, who doesn't like Bravo? Like, what?
Not so much... Not really I hate him as a character. It's more of a... I really don't care. I'm kind of indifferent towards them, so I'm like, you know.
Even Groudon?
Super popular contender for my number one spot.
As much as Jonouchi is, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the future. He's not really doing much now.
We'll get into that.
So I'm kind of like, yeah.
So, speaking of Ord and Jonouchi? How is
Jonouchi.
It? Jonouchi. Like, how fucking... Like that shipping potential.
Yeah, I think we've officially decided the name of the pairing is Jorin.
What the hell?
Jorinji.
There you go.
Yeah, it was like the whole episode. I understand that it's meant to be like because of the nature of Oren, it's supposed to be like a tough love.
Yeah.
What's seniority?
Yeah.
But it's just like it's so goddamn. The cross-dressing didn't help. So it just became all cutesy and lovey instead of, like, this just kind of silent understanding of each other's feelings.
You know what it was? You know what parallels this exactly, including the dressing your son up like a woman thing? When Otoya and Wataru met up in the Kiva movie.
I was going to say Oren High School.
Oren
High School.
What weirds me out is that Oren thinks that
Black
dressing
Castle will be replaced YouTube
version. Shop that logo. Oren High School.
What bothers me though is the fact that Oren thinks that dressing up Jonouchi in a dress makes him more of a man.
Look at Oren. Obviously, his idea of what dressing up does for you is a little different.
A wee bit off.
That's also to say that Oren might be going under the philosophy, if you can't be masculine in a woman's clothes, you have no business being a man.
I think that sort of might be the underlying idea, but just, he's kind of not focusing on that bit.
Obviously, that's probably not his primary line of thought, but it is just a matter of, if you can be manly this way... You're manly.
I guess.
I don't know. Works out. Anyway, Blackcaster shall be replaced by his brains all over the wall. Because that just blew my mind.
We just cleaned up.
Took a shot back to it and everything.
Going back to Sagra, that whole finding out how Helheim and the fruits and such actually work.
Yeah, no,
before
that.
It was like, it's an invasive species. It's a parasitic-like plant that overtakes and consumes worlds. Not quite. Just kind of close, but not really.
Close, but you're
way out. Well, it's more like
and it makes perfect sense.
It's more like this is your challenge. If you fail, Helheim takes over. Your objective: get this golden apple or whatever it's supposed to be.
Somebody has
done
apparently,
it multiple times. And I wanted to clarify this. Apparently that golden apple thing is going to be the plot of the summer movie. And I wanted to clarify this. I may have mentioned this last week. The summer movies are individual movies, not a team-up special like I thought. There is going to be a Gaim summer movie and a Tokyuger summer movie.
And it is potentially the end of the series.
Is that what we're doing?
That
makes perfect sense.
There's that rumor going around. You've seen it.
Yeah, that apparently Gaim is going to end shorter than it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because, of all things, the fucking World Cup!
All people love soccer. Because, you know, the Japanese love soccer. But
fuckers.
That has not actually been confirmed yet.
It's not like they play.
That's not confirmed yet, though. That's the thing.
That's the rumor.
I don't know.
But that's being rumored. It's
We are talking about a series that once was held off a week several times because of golf.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then there was that Kiva fan art.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did that, actually, but I really hope they don't.
Hell, this is the country that made Pikachu their mascot for their soccer.
Guys, it wouldn't be the first time Toei's...
Pikachu couldn't even play soccer.
It wouldn't be the first time that Toei's television spots got taken over by sporting events, so wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Anyways... the whole Gaim movie being the end of the story makes perfect sense because it's about this golden apple. So I'm going to go under that assumption for now.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Well, I should say, I am completely new, I guess you could say, to Kamen Rider. I've only seen a few episodes of Double and Kiva. Did I even say that right?
Yes.
It's Kiva? Okay.
Yeah.
And this was the first episode I ever saw of Gaim. And I got...
It's Kaiba?
It's Kaiba.
It's Kiba.
Anyways, So this was the first episode I saw of Gaim, and I liked it. I thought it was fun and cool, and I guess I landed on a pretty good episode because it was the big
exposition. And you landed on one on a very exposition and comedy heavy episode.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. I thought like that whole scene where you see the villains, they're talking about the, it's called what, Helheim. That, like, where it actually is, the fact that it, like, they don't say this straight.
Yeah, you really picked a hell of an episode to start because you just got, like, the end game goal.
Yeah.
And the point of the series kind of shoved in your face before you know anything else.
And, like, I thought, like, the whole, like, that little exchange between them and the hologram was really, it was really cool. Well written, actually. And,
oh, yeah.
The idea that, like, they don't say this directly, but the fact that, like, every fruit from mythology comes from this place. They even sort of imply the apple from Eve.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of...
You know, Helheim, directly responsible for the Trojan War.
There you go.
I think my favorite part of that whole exchange was while DJ Sagra was making the exchange with Team Yggdrasil, as we'll dub them.
I'm going to call them Team Sengoku.
Okay.
Because they are not Yggdrasil.
Okay. Micah was perma stuck in that I accidentally shat my pants face. She didn't say anything, but just this.
Yeah. Yoko's face.
Yeah.
Put it in the video.
Meanwhile, Ryoma's having a fucking laughing fit.
No, I love it. He totally pulled an L just for like evil maniacal, I was right laughter.
Yeah.
The whole game.
The whole game.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Quick picture. Anyway, one of the last things I wanted to talk about was just Coda, Michi, and
Zach.
Zach, that's his name. He's got like one of the whitest names on the show, and I can't remember it.
Yeah.
I've got this cool little team thing going on the side.
They've like formed their own little invest busting unit.
Major plot going on. Like, alright, time for some invest
like
busting.
Like, Michi and Coda are like arguing, it's like, oh, we can't all do this, and Zach just comes up to them, guys, it's okay, we got this for now.
How weird is that the guy from Team Baron is the voice of friendly resolution?
Yeah.
But that's just it, and that's why I love Zach so much, not only as a writer, but now as the active leader of Baron. Because Baron, as a whole, now has a driving force that is very much a voice of reason and not a voice of power and anarchy and we're the best because the ranking system is now put to rest and they need a leader that reflects as such.
Yeah.
He's now, we're doing this because it's in our best interest and not we're doing this because we're the best and we know it.
Yeah.
And I like that change of mentality. Because it almost makes you wonder what Zack's thought process was when he was working under Kaito the whole time. I mean, we heard from him now and again, but it was never anything weird. You were never led to believe that he was going to do something great with the team.
Yeah. The only one who really did anything malicious from Team Baron, I think, is Pekko, the guy who was slingshotting lock sheets out of Gaim's hands.
Yeah.
Mm.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Dick.
What a dick face.
Yeah. Anyways, is that your point?
Whoa. If he had a generic thing, he'd be a Kuropeko.
Fuck.
I did a thing.
Right, even I know that reference.
That's me done. And Brick Blast.
Okay, so you two got your points done?
Yeah, that's it.
Anything you wanted to focus on?
Well, okay, like I said, this was the first episode of Gaim I ever seen in full. And, the whole exposition scene was really cool, but what really stole the show for me, and I'm sorry, I'm just terrible with names, who's the cross-dresser?
Oren.
Jonouchi.
One by...
Wait,
by
trade, wait, the leader
older,
or the...
The older one.
Oren. Oren Pierre Alfonso.
That guy was so fucking cool.
Oh,
that,
you have no idea!
So funny. And I'm just watching this, and I'm just like, this is hilarious.
You
this
have
is
no getting, idea. This okay. Is, next time you're over, I'm going to show you the Bravo Heavy episodes.
All right.
And you will love him as much as I
there
do.
There you go. But no, I thought he was funny. It was all cool. I really like the designs they go with in this show. Like I said, I don't watch this lot. But they'll vouch for this. Back when this first was about to be a thing, before it even came out, they showed me the designs of the... Like, it's fruit.
Yeah, we talked about this in great detail back in episode one.
Yeah, but it was just to me, it was like, how can they pull that off? But I see it, and it actually looks pretty cool. Like, their weapons are cool.
For the record, I will say it as many times as I need to, Gaim Orange Arms is still ugly.
I still like it.
Yeah, like I liked it too. I like it a lot.
But I like the characters. They're fun. They're endearing. There is an endearment to this. I think that's the thing about Kamen Rider in general. It's got a charm to it that just can't be matched.
Absolutely.
I like to live by my philosophy of if it's broke, make it evil. That has literally fixed every and all of my aesthetic problems with a main rider's suit.
Don't we like Bujin Gaim?
Yeah, if I hated Gaim and they showed Bujin Gaim, as far as subtle differences go, I won't get into it. They made him red instead of orange, and I was like, that's badass!
Yeah.
Red orange!
Yeah,
blood orange. That's
an actual thing!
Exactly. So I was just kind of like, that's so cool! And it's like, it's the same thing, but it's red. Yeah, but that fixed it!
Yeah.
Also, blood orange.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
And that's what I mean. That's exactly. I found that's the case, like, almost all the time.
I think I'm going to go by that philosophy myself. If it's broke, make it evil.
I think the only time that was less than true was Negadeno.
True.
Yeah.
Negadeno was ugly.
I think Negadeno was...
No, you know where that applies? Yuki and Gao. Because they do run off the same Deno system.
Okay. Yeah.
Gao had the Infinity Past.
Yep.
Anyway, but I digress.
As a newcomer, I thought it was fun. I'm actually looking forward to watching more.
Would you be willing to catch up with Gaim?
I'm going to try, actually.
Okay, cool.
Like, I tried it with Double. Unfortunately, life got in the way.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm going to try with Gaim again.
Gaim gets in the way of life.
Yeah. In this series...
You can't say no, you have to live more.
Thank you! You just nailed it right there!
Yeah.
Okay, so, I think what we'll do with you then is come back to the show once you've caught up with Gaim, and we'll revisit.
Alright.
And Lane...
So it was a really good episode. I just didn't like how it went from, like, seriousness to silliness.
Yeah,
like,
I knew we were going to
mention that tone shift.
There is a very abrupt tone shift back.
Because it's like, you know, goes to, like, Oren going, Jonouchi, you shouldn't be so fucking tough, let's go train! And then shot to Dakota and Kaido having a serious conversation, and then back to them fucking training and being full of idiots and stuff, and then...
Back to Sagara and
Sagara and the bad guys.
So yeah, that whole exposition thing, that's really cool. I like to see Sengoku just being all like, I was right, yes! So that's kind of boosted his spirits up now ever since, like... And Sid's just like, what the fuck are you?
Yeah.
I'm so interested in Sagara's like,
I love
find
how,
out, bitch!
I love how Sagara just completely fucking ignores his question.
Now, this is just like me, because I'm easily...
I was only going to answer one of your questions. That's not the one.
With how Wait, I...
Thank you, come again.
With how I am, I'm very easily amused with, like... And I always like dumb shit a lot. Which is probably why I like Tokyo Drift a shit ton.
Correct.
But my favorite part of the entire episode was just Banto. Just... Banto is just fucking...
It's Bondo with a D.
Oh, Bondo. Okay, yeah, Bondo. He's just so funny, like... All of a sudden, Oren just comes in, starts, like, messing up his shop, and he's just scared for his fucking life, and you just see, like, his...
He retreats to the south, the safeness of a boa and
yeah,
a camera.
Yeah, well, he put it on because he was trying it,
yeah.
But my favorite part is just, he, like, his, like, employee or whatever, I don't fucking know her name.
The cafe chick.
Other Satanaka, that's
yeah,
what
I call
her.
Gaim Satanaka.
Gaim Satanaka. She just has, like, she's taking pictures of him with her phone, and then you just see him go, like, Yemen!
He
takes a picture.
He's pleading to the camera for
and then,
the writers
like,
to stop
she starts
fighting.
Attacking Bravo, which is probably not doing anything to him. Cause...
No, but the point is, he's just so floored that she's trying. That he's just standing there stunned going, what is going on?
No, she uses the stab accidentally, hits Bondo in the head,
Yep.
Just knocks him out, and I'm just like...
And then wedges the nunchucks in Bravo's helmet.
But no, I'm just
that
like...
That was weird.
But I'm like, poor guy, he's just trying to open up a strawberry fair, which, yeah, Kevin and I both have a thing of this.
Yeah.
Strawberry fair, Gaim doesn't go Ichigo arms. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Middle of a strawberry fair, orange arms. You missed that
It would have made the silliness,
yeah.
Like, a really good for me.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, just, like... Bondo, poor guy. Like, he goes through so much shit. He's been attacked by an Invis.
So you don't.
What happens when everyone operates out of your fucking store?
Yep. It's good to see that Junoichi's like using Gridon again. Like I just loved when he just ran in there thinking, "What the fuck's wrong with me? I just gotta do something. At least try."
And I just enjoyed how today was when Kevin decided to try and clarify what the fuck happened to Hase.
Oh my god! Oh. I was gonna talk about that.
I'll leave it that to you, but. It's just Kevin's question while we were watching it with Sal earlier. He's like, so wait, what happened with Hase? Why was it that he hit the fruit, didn't just turn into the friggin', what happened to his belt? Zangief broke it.
Yeah.
I totally missed that, but I was just kind of like, I was thinking about who had died in the series, and I was like, isn't Hase a rider? Like, doesn't that just, like, veto him from the whole,
yeah.
The fruit is alluring, I'm gonna eat it, it's gonna do something
and,
to
me. And just before you even ask about Yuya, he dropped the belt and
no,
then
I know that. That was clarified to me when I saw Invest Yuya next to the belt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, a lot of people are complaining that, like, oh, Gridon, like, he didn't attack, he just was used, like, the Block Blast. I think Dongri Arms is more defense-based than attack, because, like, if you look at his hammer, like, when he uses
his... built like a rook!
When he uses his ole, you literally just, he hits the Invis with the hammer, you just hear a bing!
That's, like, his signature sound effect.
Yeah. So, it's, like, an acorn. Like, if you ever tried crushing an acorn, it's kind of hard to crush an acorn.
Yeah, no, and Gridon Arms, or Dongri Arms is definitely built like a fucking rook.
So. I love Dongri Arms a lot, just, fuck.
It's an acorn. What do you want?
Hey, brown. It's a horrible, ugly color.
I just like the idea that the Christian Paladin-themed writer is brown-colored.
Yes, which is why I'm contemplating on getting the figure arts of him when that gets released, because why the fuck not?
If they weren't so goddamn expensive, I would buy all the arms change figures because of reasons.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my take on it. So, Ichi, go ahead.
Okay, so, this was a long-awaited episode for me because Bravo is my number one favorite character in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Gridon, I don't mind. He's pretty cool. I actually think he's one of the most dynamic characters in the show, right up there with Michi, because he started as this evil, scheming tactician with a harem of girls at his beck and call.
Until they started talking bad shit about him, and then he literally fell face on
the
concrete.
And he got reduced to a cross-dressing patissier in training.
Poor guy.
Through the events of the show.
Oh, I just love when he's like, I'm an idiot! You know, my life's not going anywhere, I don't know what I want in life! And you just see Orin just sitting there, seriously, you are an idiot. And, yeah, your life's not going anywhere. And he just, like, he bolts, and I'm like, you're an asshole.
No, but I do respect Junoichi for that very, very righteous rant. It's like, fuck you! I don't know what I'm gonna do! Of course I know I'm the biggest faker, blah, blah, blah! I actually... A lot of respect points for Junoichi for that
speech.
Yeah,
no, totally.
But no, with regards to Junoichi, the biggest part of the episode for me was just him not knowing what happened to Hase.
He's like, things are better when Hase was around.
Why doesn't he answer my call?
Why isn't he around anymore? And I'm just like, oh,
and
Coach
is just like,
he tries to tell him.
Hase, and then he gets interrupted.
About that.
Yeah.
You just look on Coda's face, too. It's just like,
not again. And then,
oh, shit, you don't know. Oh.
And then after that, the whole thing with Oren barging in and trying to yell at Coda, still thinking they're responsible. The best part of the episode, the two moments where Junoichi's hiding around the corner while Oren's, like, talking about him, and you just see Junoichi's face as he, like, towers up and behind the alley. And then, while Kota is trying to explain what's going on, Bravo is basically going, not listening, Henshin, fuck you! And then they have probably what is the saddest fight in the whole series. They both fall down some stairs and then clutch their backs in agony as they're weakly swinging their swords at each other.
That was pretty hilarious for me.
Although I have to point out something. It's definitely, this is definitely an episode where we notice Kota is getting a lot more skilled because he's able to stand up to Bravo in just orange arms, whereas before it took a Jinbe form for him to even be on par with Bravo.
Yeah. Or Suika.
Yeah, or Suika. Yes, first it took Suika,
or,
then a Jinbe form.
Or OP mech suit.
And, yeah, the way the episode ended has a lot of potential, because we see Bravo finally noticing what's going on and jumping headfirst into a fucking crack.
And also, Mai's finally going to be like, can you tell me what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, that next week's episode, Koda finally tells Mai what's going on, and Michi gets pissed.
Understandably.
And Baron. Shut up, Baron.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
It's going to be cool.
Okay, so that is our section on Gaim. Now we're going to move on to Tokyuger.
Shinpachinko!
Yay!
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
Alright, so now here's our Tokyu section.
Let's keep this
so,
express line going.
Yes. Is it okay if I start with my opinion on this?
No.
Alright. No. Awesome. So, this was actually a pretty cool episode because we got introduced to the Diesel Russia, which is going to formulate Dieselo, which actually looks like...
There's one thing I have to bring up about the Diesel Russia. Their trains all run on the Rainbow Line imagination power. Why is there one that runs on diesel?
It's a name, dick.
It's
a type of train.
But it's named after a type of fuel source. Why would you name that if it didn't run on diesel?
Okay.
Because he powered it up with imagination anyway.
And the Red Rush is based off a steam train that uses coal. Why isn't that big on coal?
If I may. This is a show where they get into robots, and the giant robots fight giant monsters.
With their penis.
Are you seriously applying logic to this?
Use imagination!
Well.
But yeah, we got introduced to the Diesel Rush. Let's just say I love him so much more now because literally, like, the bomb shadow comes out and he's like, oh, blah, blah, and they're like, I can see the shocks on your faces that your parent, like, immediate demise. Light just comes in, kicks him,
fucking Ryder kicks
flying,
the bomb
explodes
into the
him,
fucking
and
sky.
I'm like, no, explodes him, and I'm like,
that was badass!
And all of the Tokyojis are just like,
is he gonna grow big?
Are we gonna have to mech fight now?
Yeah, guys, let's go on the trains. Let's start mech. But just
get on the train.
They just shot him.
The one thing I didn't like about this episode, though, was just constant light derp smile. That's like the one thing I don't like about him is he has this weird smile. Like David, when you get back to editing this, put up a picture of Light's dumbass smile.
The face of a man who ate a shit sandwich is the best way I can describe that. And he tried to convince you it was delicious.
I think that has to be the episode title.
It's good. It's great.
It's got fiber.
It had fiber. It's finished having fiber.
Also, I think that we can all agree that they're the biggest part of the episode, but I'm going to let Raven talk about that, because I know that was the only part of the episode that interests him, because, you know, he was the most shocked, I think. But overall, I thought it was a good episode. It kind of got weird. The Emperor's ever getting closer, so...
Pretty early.
I'm looking forward to seeing him because I hope.
Hey, if the track record's anything to go by, the Emperor's going to be gorgeous.
If he is as awesome as Actos Gil was in Gokaiger, fucking A.
I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of Air Japan.
So, your thoughts.
Okay, now, I'm a bigger Super Sentai fan than I am of Kamen Rider, so I've seen more Sentai. This was the first Tokyuger I've ever seen, but I really liked it. I was like, it's very fun, it's very...
Wait till you see episode 3.
Imaginative.
Thank you, Sal.
And for one thing, I had no idea what they looked like. When I saw the villains for the first time, I almost fainted. They are gorgeous.
I know, right?
It's so cool, like the steampunk sort of thing going on.
It's like if the villains from Kingdom Hearts decided to go to a Renaissance fair.
There you go! I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was really fun. I like their Zordon, if you will, the guy with the puppet.
Conductor.
Yeah, the conductor. And, he's going to turn into one, isn't he? You think?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
It's like saying if Owner was going to turn into a Denno Rider in Denno.
Hashtag Doug Krugman.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Ticket in a bit.
That's my
bit.
I had a lot of fun.
I
thought that was Kevin's bit, but if you have something to say on that, we'll start there.
I thought it was fun. It's got a good heart of comedy in it. Also, there was one really great thing I liked in this. It was reminiscent of a Power Rangers episode, actually, where, like, I don't know, have they done this before where they can turn different colors?
No. That's a new thing.
No. Okay.
That is the marketing bit for this series, the fact that they can switch
colors. Unless you count Gokaiger, but...
I just thought, no, it's cool, like, the whole plot of the episode is the Blue Ranger, who in his civilian form looks suspiciously like Noah from Megaforce.
Yeah, I agree, man.
He's got a bomb strapped to him, and they
trick... Other shoulder.
Yeah, the shoulder, sorry.
Other shoulder.
Fuck you! They can't see!
I don't care!
And the whole thing is, they gotta get the bomb off him, but then they trick the... it's called a shadow, right?
Yeah.
The shadow into... because they switch out the Ranger's colors... And it just, I thought that was really clever. I didn't realize that. I was just, like, wait, how the fuck did he get the bomb
just
off?
Just to quick explain on that thing, the Tokati had the bomb strapped to him, so Hikari caused switch lines to Blue Ranger. To make the monster think that he had henshined and gotten free of the bomb, and then he was like, what? Then they caught him and disabled it.
Now, I didn't notice this. Did the number stay the same?
Yep. No.
Oh, it changed, too.
Like whatever color you are, you were all... Each person is always the same number.
That's just it.
That's what I asked, though.
It was. No, his number stayed the same. He still had the same thing on his helmet. It's the
monster just didn't notice.
I didn't notice it either. I knew
they had some clever camera angles.
That's pretty subtle for a show like this.
I didn't notice it. I noticed it initially, but I didn't notice the number. I noticed it because I recognized Hikari's voice. And I went, that's not Tokati.
See, like I said, it reminded me of that episode of Power Rangers in Space where they had to defeat the Psycho Rangers.
And they all cosplayed the Blue Ranger.
And they're all blue, too. I wonder if that's a callback, then, because it was blue.
Could be. Yeah. That's really obscure, though.
You never know. I'm sorry, are you saying that fans can't call up obscure things?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do you really think the staff remember that much about Mega Ranger that they would do that?
Yes.
Tell you what, if we ever get confirmation on that, I owe you a Coke.
We need confirmation first that actually happened in Mega Ranger and that wasn't just something Saban did.
I don't know.
That's what Saban did. Fucking good on
Very
them.
Clever.
Good on them.
Clever girl.
Like, we need confirmation on that.
Saban, can you email us?
Yeah, Saban, if you're listening, email us and tell us.
We love you.
We love you, Saban. Thanks for bringing back the old theme.
Although, not so great for leaving the names in every episode. No.
Jaden!
Oh, God, that annoys me to no end.
Like, first episode, sure. The whole show!
I was honestly
expecting... Also, please make Troy less bland. Thank you.
That would be nice. I was honestly expecting for Samurai, when they got to Bulk, that he would say, Bulk! Which would have been awesome.
I've said this a million times, but I'm disappointed Bulk didn't become Shinken Brown.
That would have been cool.
That's what I was watching for! Anyways, then we were digressing.
Alrighty, Raven! Fucking ticket.
Yeah.
Fucking
sorry. I was floored when I saw it.
Same. No, it's just, I watched, like, before watching it, Kevin and Lane were both like, there's something in this episode you're gonna fucking love. And I'm just like, okay, I can't. Kevin phrases as the Xeranos of the series, which for us means just that one redeeming quality that made the show worth watching. So I was half expecting the Orange Ranger to pop up.
Not this early,
but hey, I was waiting for something.
Go Ranger.
And then that happened.
Yeah.
And I was just like...
Do you want to go ahead and lay it out?
Conductor, okay, no. Conductor is trying to regain control of the train, and so he's got tickets, like, using his mouth to fucking try and maneuver the stick and try and move it. And at some point... The conductor gets pissed off with it, pulls Ticket off of his arm.
Like, not even a big thing, he just like, yoink, just puts it down.
Nonchalantly takes Ticket off of his arm, puts it, throws it down.
He's got a normal-ass hand underneath.
Normal-ass hand,
and
nothing.
Resumes trying to hit the brakes.
That moment with absolutely no flourish, no build-up, just that thing that they've been, you'll never find out whether this is an actual puppet or not. It's a fucking puppet, and they just nonchalantly, nope.
Okay. I have to bring up my own personal experience on that part, because, like I said, this is the first episode of this I watched, so I'm very much an innocent to this. So when that happened, and I saw it, I just said to, I think I was with Lane, I was like, oh, he just takes it off every now and then?
No!
First time ever!
The point of that is, when they first saw it, ever since the first episode, Light has been trying to snatch it to prove that it's just a puppet. but there was we never really knew either way. I still think the jury's out. I think if it is a sentient personality,
he threw it down and it stayed shut. It shut the fuck up the entire time.
No,
I'm pretty sure it's
this is my theory. This is my theory. While I do believe that it being just a puppet and conductor being an asshole is a very real possibility, I also think that Ticket is only sentient when conductor has him equipped.
Like Kermit. Imagination.
Exactly.
Okay, fair point.
It gains sentience through conductor.
Exactly.
That's an interesting possibility.
I'm okay with that theory.
That's why when he yoinks him off, there's zero reaction because he has cut him off.
Yeah. No, okay, that's entirely possible. But you know what? At the same time, to me, that was like almost as much of a, wait, what? Just what? Not? It was almost as much of a very much just screwing with me moment as that one, like the only thing I can really compare to offhand is that in one moment from the Eyes manga. I know nobody else in this room has read. I almost
hashtag obscure ass reference.
I almost wish Fleets was here because he would understand exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay,
just that for context for anybody who doesn't know what I'm referring to,
aka everyone here.
Yeah, everyone here, and possibly the majority of the people listening. Eyes is a romantic comedy manga. It's this one. Basically, there's a guy and a girl, and the guy likes the girl, but. To his credit, and to the credit of the writers of this, instead of just pussyfooting around it the whole time, he's actually trying to tell her how he feels. But for about 70 to 80 straight chapters, Jesus. Every time he tries, something happens.
Okay.
He gets interrupted, some loud noise happens, and she doesn't hear him. It's just, they go through this whole range of things, like, why he didn't tell her, why he lost his opportunity, or why she didn't fucking...
Anyways, moving on.
And then suddenly, one fucking moment in the manga, it just happens, out of fucking nowhere.
He just blurts it out.
It just happens out of fucking nowhere, and you're just sitting there like, something's gonna happen, right? Something's happening here, right? It's just... If there's no way in hell that's that easy at this point in the thing, right?
My favorite part about that scene was you as the audience kind of experienced it and you were like, holy shit! And then Hikari comes in and gets to relive what we just did because he's all caught up and just, I gotta help conductor! And everything kind of gets...
Sidetracked.
The best part was just conductor's like, thank you, Hikari. Wipes the sweat off of him with the ticket.
And then Hikari's just kind of like...
He has the exact opposite reaction to all the audience.
No, that was my reaction.
I was going to say the exact reaction of the audience. Just kind of...
I sat there for a while. He did it and I was just sitting there like...
I'm gonna go over here now.
Pretend that didn't happen. And the funny thing is, Hikari's in ranger form, so you don't even see his face, but you know his face.
No, that would have been great if we could see his face.
But you could totally see his face.
No, but the thing is, just him being like the serious, grounded character, just to have him have a face of complete irrational reaction would have made that scene so perfect.
Which gives me my theory is that. Everyone else except for Light is going to witness like Ticket not on Conductor's hand, and they're just not going to tell him. So like
fun.
There'll be a moment eventually where Kagura will find out, and then she'll be like, "Light, something," and Hikari's just going to call Kagura and be like, "No, don't tell him.
Don't let him know.
Let him find out for himself."
I think the icing on the cake in that instance would be if our theory was correct, in that it's just kind of like he's just a puppy. He's not though.
Okay, so to what you were saying, I got this mental image in my head. Like, okay, so going by the theory that when he's on his hand, imagination powers his sentience, right? So what happens to Ticket when he gets taken off? I just picture Ticket alone in this dark...
Like a
day,
void?
A void, with just a spotlight on him.
The thing is, what that is... If he is sentient, we're operating under this assumption.
No, you know what he's doing? He's sitting inside the TV world all alone, just sitting next to the entrance.
He's not Teddy!
No!
Yes, he is! It's the VA!
God, oh, right.
It's voiced by Teddy from Persona 4!
I forgot. Anyways, my point was... What was my point?
stuffing things.
I don't know. Are you done?
No. No, I had a thing. So, what I thought was the worst part of that whole revelation was the fact that the instant Ticket is put back on his hand, the scene changes. So we don't get to see what Ticket's reaction was to being removed.
Yeah, would he have been like, what the hell, man? Why'd you do that again?
Yeah, I guess the only other moment in that episode that really caught my attention was, yeah, the light just, light just shows up and you, poof. Boots the
Ryder kicks the monster into the sky.
Ryder kicks. He just it. Kicks.
It's like he walks
he
it behind
Sparta
it.
Kicked
yeah,
into
he
the
walks
sky.
It behind it, boots it into the sky, and it explodes. And just everybody else is just standing there like, is he gonna turn big now?
Are we done?
Are we bringing up the mechs now? Like usual?
Is that it?
No. Well, that was a lot easier than
Cut.
Usual.
Print that shit.
And they're like, wow, that was a lot easier than usual. Let's go back to the train.
And none of them suspects a thing.
Nope.
They all got $1 million.
All right.
That's
so
my thing.
I've got a couple things to add, although they are very minor.
Wagon.
Although, shut up.
Spoilers.
Just because she's my Sentai waifu doesn't change.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Good.
It's the greatest sense of irony.
That
it's
is
just like
that fucking
such a.
No, you know what she is? She's your waifu, spelled WHY.
WHYF.
That thing is going to haunt
my wife.
It's going to haunt my nights from now on.
I know, right?
The lips.
It's going to, yeah. going to sexually pleasure you in your nightmares.
Apparently.
Okay, so I'm sorry. If we had any doubts in our mind, it's official. Wagon's a pleasure unit. She's designed for like sexualizing everything and making you feel all right. By whatever
Don't
means
say it.
By whatever means necessary.
No.
She even told Takati, let me take care of you.
No, let me take care of you.
There is that scene where Buddy like falls into her boobs.
Yeah, it falls into her boobs and he's like,
is that a running,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Is that a running gag or something? Or
not
is that,
really.
No, it's just that...
The running gag is she's a slut.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Being Japan, the male cast is very recluse and coy about the whole... Oh no, women's sexualization. Meanwhile, Wagon goes with it every time, all the time, and you're just kind of like,
I wonder.
We get it. You want the D real bad.
I wonder how they're going to translate that into power.
She wants the diesel.
She wants to ride that line.
If you go in the diesel rush because of the way the letters are colored,
it looks like D.
You gotta give her the D.
I didn't even notice the darkened letters until he was riding it out in the where it was brighter.
Yeah. Speaking of our favorite moron of this episode, they're going around looking for intel, and of course, because of the way the rushes work, we need to go ask children. Maybe you'd get a better lead on this if you didn't ask a fucking baby.
Yeah.
No, he asks a baby.
Yeah,
yeah.
He asks the baby, have you seen the diesel Russia?
No. You know what I was thinking? While I was watching the episode, Lane and Kevin were talking about that, and I didn't quite know what they were saying Takati did, but I know he was doing something stupid. In my head, I was thinking Takati was going after the children, asking about the train, and somebody called the cops on him.
That should have happened.
Like, there's some adult male walking around, talking, bothering little children, and asking about if they've seen his train.
Asking if they want to ride his train.
Oh, no.
Hey, kids, you want to take a ride on the steam train?
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo, kids.
No, but...
And that was reminding Gwen immediately, and then he just asked a baby, and I'm like... Not as bad as I was thinking, but still pretty stupid.
How would I run?
And even though I would call asking the baby the stupidest part, the other stupid part of that is, while he's investigating, he just decides to fuck off and go play soccer with some kids. Granted, that did turn out to be a good lead, but he didn't know that at the time, so full points for being a stupid...
Or did he?
No.
Or did he, because those kids were acting weird when he asked.
For the guy who reads a lot
he
of books,
he wouldn't realize
he's
that.
Sure, a dumbass.
Light would not pick
God,
up on
he's
that.
Such a dumbass.
I did, and you did, we all did. Light did not. He's just like,
Are
oh,
you
you're
sure?
playing soccer.
Are you sure?
I think.
Pretty sure.
I think he knew by the will of the Red Ranger. There's
oh, come on.
Hey, man. Alata. Marvelous.
It's Sentai. It's a thing.
Marvelous was bad enough.
Daigo.
Marvelous was badass enough that whatever he wanted happened.
But that's just it. It's by the will of... I need it to happen, so it's gonna. and I know it will.
I guess he has to have some positive quality.
He can see it happening.
Yeah, that's true.
He can see those kids telling him the information.
He's got the biggest imagination of all of them.
I can just imagine Light being a good cop, bad cop scenario.
That's like, holy shit, like, what's the thing, like, five clicks to Jesus, like, points of relation?
What? Yeah.
Six degrees? So Kuger is airing at the same time as Gaim. Gaim was written by Urobuchi, who wrote Madoka. Madoka had the greatest potential to be a magical girl ever. Madoka is Light.
So Light has the potential to be the greatest magical girl ever?
He has the big... Yes! He has the most imagination potential.
God damn it.
It's like the same character, just kind of... You can. Cause...
Yeah, at least with Madoka, they gave an explanation for it by the end of it.
Okay, so...
Episode 8, give it time.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you done?
Hey man, when Madoka was on episode 8, shit was happening.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Okay. My first point is mostly, the fact that the Bomb Shadow was pretty fucking awesome. I also thought he looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it reminded
me of... Most of the monsters so far have been pretty stupid, but that one was cool.
It reminded me of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster.
The coffin one was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's been kind of hit and miss. It's been really hit and miss.
And then it got fucking... Its box got dick punched.
Yeah.
By a Megazord.
Continuing with the theme of Light is a fucking moron, I love how when he first steps into the Diesel Russia and it's not working, his first thought... I'ma clean the bitch. I see we're operating under the Doug Borsky logic. That's for all the Sons of Butcher fans we don't have.
Sons of Butcher has fans?
Very good turn of phrase.
But no, the most interesting part of the episode for me was what we mentioned before, the whole, they found a practical use for the line-changing bullshit. Trick the monster into thinking you're the Blue Ranger. Which technically he was, because color is irrelevant in this series.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically my points. Better than last week, I'll give it that.
Hey, guy, I'm going to try and turn on
not the... Not that that's hard.
I'm going to turn on the diesel train. Hey, it's not working.
That's the hardest thing to say when you're talking about it in relation to the worst episode of Tokyuger yet.
Yeah.
Episode 7 was the bad.
Anyways, yeah. No, that my other thing about that episode I forgot about. Just Light with the freaking diesel ratchet.
Yeah,
it's like I'm gonna turn. All it's gonna take is a choke user on board. Okay, I'm gonna turn it on now. Nope.
I'm like, who is this, Lane? It's not working. Spam it until it works.
Lane. Hey, you had forgotten to turn the changer on.
It's not working. Yeah. Why isn't it working? I'm gonna keep doing this for a while. Oh, maybe if I clean the place. Let me try it now. No. Oh, hey, suddenly I actually really...
All right, I have to use the imagination, the thing that powers them!
Oh, it's like, suddenly I actually need this thing to work, like, now, so come on, and it works for reason.
Wouldn't that be akin to if you knew that something was solar-powered, but you still tried to start it in a cave?
That's exactly what happened.
But it's like... All that build up to that, and I mean, sure, it looked like a shithole, and it was real nice that he cleaned it up. And I was like, aren't you the type of person to go, oh, I know how this works, I'm just going to imagine it to do so, which is what I assumed he would have done in the first place. But hey, we've got 24 minutes to fill.
And then they didn't form the Megazord.
Yeah, they pulled a Denliner. They just like shot lasers at it and it blew up.
I was disappointed because
was a little bitch.
Yeah,
would have liked to have seen that because would this have been the first time where first there's two Megazords?
The second Megazord is going to show up next week.
So I'm assuming that's what this is.
Yeah. But, this is the precursor to Dieselo, which is going to show up next week. But yes, this was the first time in Tokyuger they killed a monster with not the Megazord.
I was okay with that, actually.
I'm a fan of not seeing Boner O.
Not me.
I looked at it design-wise just from, like, seeing scans and stuff. Dieselo, what Tokyo should have been.
I know, Dieselo should have screwed.
I want to see a picture of that.
Scan in the YouTube version here.
It's not that I hate Tokyo, but I hate Tokyo.
I know, right?
But Dieselo just, to me, looks like a Megazord.
It looks kind of like something from Go Andrew, which is really appropriate. Anyways, there is a picture of Diesel.
That's cool. Not like I've been saying this since day one. I'm not the biggest fan of these.
I like how the colors of like the back of Dieselo coincidentally correspond to the tank and car carrier Resha. They
just
make up its legs.
They're just to me, it's too streamlined. It's too.
But that is
blocky.
To say, yes, it's made of trains. It doesn't look like five trains had sex.
No, it's true. Three.
But it doesn't look like they had a big orgy.
Yeah.
It looks like a robot made of things.
Yeah, like the Tokuger Megazord, to me, it just looks honestly like someone just said, I'm a stack trains.
They did. They drive beside
it,
each other
it,
on
it's
the line,
literally,
connect,
they
and
took,
then stand
no, I've
up.
Seen it. I've they seen took it. Five pieces of construction paper of different colors and put them in a nice little line.
And then they added this.
Yeah. Put picture of the train boner.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So I don't think you go anywhere from train boner.
No. All right. That really fucks us all.
Let's move on to our topic, shall we?
Okay, so, we did mention last week, you wanted to do a thing?
So, yeah, I know we mentioned we were going to watch Hentai Common, but...
Things happen.
So, I decided we're going to, for this topic discussion, we're going to talk about our favorite and least favorite Sentai designs.
Yay! So, we're going to have to run through this quick, because we're already...
Very much so. So, starting with me. Right now, favorite suit design is, Lightspeed Rescue Go-Go 5. They just, sexy as shit.
The shield mouthpiece thing I kind of like, but other than that, I don't like them that much.
Least favorite, God, it's fucking hard. Honestly, Shinkenger.
Fuck you.
Like, it's cool...
No, that's Sex Ranger.
It's cool, but...
We will make it someday.
I just don't like how, like, the kanji designs are just...
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, they're just there.
I
like,
made their transformation sequence
they're
cool.
No, looking through those helmets must be so fucking weird for a bunch of them.
That's a problem for the suit actors.
Yeah, so I feel sorry for the suit actors. At least with the Go-Go 5 suits, it's just... Yeah! Full visor, so they have full... Look, plus you can see inside their helmets, which is pretty cool.
I like the inside of their helmets.
Yes.
So it looks like
the mouthpiece
with
and
the
shit.
Respirator. It's
yeah.
Real cool.
So,
I
those are that's my really favorite least favorite.
I really like the Go-Go's. Like,
the Go-Go's.
Sorry. I have to steal a joke here, but it really does look like they were funded by Umbrella.
Yeah. Especially the pink.
Umbrella
yeah.
Ranger.
Umbrella Ranger. As for the Shinkenger, I like the suit itself. I like the idea, like, it's got, like, the
it's a gi.
The helmets look too buggy to me. They look like insects. I don't know. So it just was, like, I'm not the biggest fan. I don't hate them. It's definitely not my least favorite. We'll get to that when we get to me, but... So I see what you mean.
Yeah. I'm done.
Okay.
So, well, least favorite? You know?
My least favorite, I've gone on... I don't know what
just name it.
The Sentai is... Jungle Fury.
So, Gekki
Ranger.
Ranger.
Like,
I am right there with you.
They just look way too... That was awful.
There you go. Right in front of the mic.
Like, if you put up a picture of, like, the red one, it looks like he's wearing pajamas. Like, it's the fact that he doesn't have a belt.
Yeah.
Or, like, a different colored legging.
See, a long time ago I agreed with you, but then I watched Gekki Ranger and started watching Jungle Fury, and honestly, they...
Well, the show's good. That's fine. Like... I'm not basing like if the show's good on that, but I'm just saying the suit looks awful.
They use animal. They use animal.
The one where Ichi has a helmet now.
See,
yeah.
They use animal martial.
That was a thing. My mother surprised me with a nice Easter present of the Jungle Fury Red Ranger's helmet in my trunk, which I have left there so far.
Wait, an actual helmet?
I think so.
I don't think it's a full helmet.
Go,
but it's
run,
like the front
take,
part of the mask.
Grab it now.
I'm going.
But, no, seriously. I got here
episode
like
7,
earlier this
lost Pinkcast.
Earlier this week, Itchy injured his foot, so I've been driving his car to work. So I went earlier this week. It snowed, so I went into his trunk to get the snow brush. And sitting there, right in the trunk,
just Gekki Red,
fucking Gekki Red helmet.
It's fucking 8 in the morning. I'm like, what?
And I'm just standing there for a second, like, Itchy. And he's like, pull it out of the trunk, show it to
I, like, hobble over and look at him, like, How did that get there? Oh, Lindsay took the car. Fuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his sister apparently left it in there after her after their mother
gave. But you know what? Anyways, I like to think that because, you know, all three of Geki Ranger, they're based off cats. Yeah. So, you know, they kind of have, like, it's like...
Geki Ranger, crossover Cats, the musical.
Plus, they use animal martial arts, so they need as much freedom as they fucking can in their suits, not restricted by belts and shit.
I just don't like it. That's it.
Their super forms are
tied,
cool.
Tied for the one I hate the most is, what's the Lost Galaxy? Gingaman, right?
Gingaman? The Charlie Brown stripe?
It just looks stupid. Charlie Brown stripe. It's too much white. However, my favorite is the Hurricangers. There is nothing about that costume I don't like. The helmet's awesome. Their basic suit themselves, awesome. The fact that they have the emblem.
If you like the Hurricangers, I strongly recommend you get around to watching Akiba Ranger because they create a new Hurricanger in season 2.
I
like the fact that they actually have their swords on their backs.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but like they're colored in a way that like their arms, it makes it look like they're actually not wearing
like the ninja
ninja suits like stop at the shoulders.
Yeah,
right?
Shurikenger is fucking amazing looking.
Yep. Like the Kabuto helmets and all that. Like when they get to the Thunder Rangers, as they're called,
the Gold Riders,
and the Navy Thunder.
They were my favorite part of that series.
So yeah, that one to me is the best.
Raven,
my favorite Super Sentai design. Gotta be Gokaiger.
Are you just saying that because it's the only series you've watched? No, because Gokaiger showed off all the other suits.
That's actually very... I actually really do like the basic Gokaiger suits. They're just really nice and really cool, in my opinion.
They are cool.
The one thing about...
It's kind of hard, like... I do like the Time Force designs, too.
Yeah, those are...
Like Kai Ranger.
Gokaiger is my second favorite suit design.
But I really do like the Gokaiger suits. I think they're the... best looking ones in the set.
Because pirates.
I know.
Oh, I can guess what your least favorite is. Let's hear it.
I'm probably not going to say what you think I'm going to say. Actually, not...
You know what? Before you say it, what do you think it is?
What do you think he thinks
it is? What do you think?
He thinks I'm going to say...
What's the show that he fucking hates all
He's going to say Tokyo.
Yeah.
I know he thinks I'm going
to
say
I've grown to love the Tokyuger suits.
I still hate them.
Personally, I don't care for the Tokyuger suits.
I don't like I don't like the helmets.
Yeah, same. I don't mind the rest of the suit. It's just the helmet kind of kills it.
Like we said before, the thing that I hate most about the Tokyuger suits is the fact that it's just the lines and everything else is solid. No creativity at all.
So yeah, my least favorite suit is Car Ranger.
Really?
What? Turbo? You hate the turbo suits?
I hate the turbo
I love
suits.
The turbo suits.
I thought they did the job effectively.
I don't. I really just dislike
them. Helmets are one of the coolest ones I've ever seen.
It may just because at the time, like when I watched Turbo kind of killed my interest in Power Rangers for a good amount of time.
A lot of people...
It was Ninja Storm that killed Power Rangers for me for a while. It was very much Turbo, and frankly, I remember, like, even as a kid, I thought the car motif was fucking stupid.
There's no doubt that it's stupid, but in terms of
this... And thus the suit suffered, because that was the fucking motif.
No, but the thing is, if you look past the fact that, yes, basing it off cars was stupid, if you look at how the design executed the motif, I think it pulls it off well.
They very much, like, said, okay, we're going to do cars. Okay, let's
they
run.
They did the fuck
let's
out of cars.
Fucking run with it.
Well, Turbo Ranger was the first car one, too, so.
Yeah, but it was a little
Turbo
prettier.
Ranger looked nice, yeah.
Turbo Ranger's okay, anyways.
Yeah, no, that's that. I really just don't like the turbo suits.
Huh.
Okay.
Kappa.
I'm just going to knock my least favorite right out of here. Battle Fever J.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, I forgot about those.
I forgot.
It's not... That, and I know, Lane,
Miss
I know,
America.
I know
Miss
that
America.
You like it. It's, again, we're talking aesthetics.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're
okay.
I know it's from the 70s,
the
but Christ.
The got the actual faces. It just looks so weird.
I like Battle Fever J, but I mainly like Battle Japan.
Well, yeah, no.
He's got the scarf, he's got the nice, cool outfit.
I mean. If you're talking about, like, just as a team, they're pretty, like, I get it, they're together, it's a thing.
Plus
it's
the laziest henshin ever.
They don't even henshin,
they
just
put
on
the suits!
Yeah.
Miss America, though, God.
One of the very few Sentai heroes with hair!
Just
and they're, no, but love
I like
it.
I like how Battle Kenya's black.
Yeah.
One of them, no, but one of them's based off the Soviet Union.
Yeah, Battle Cossack.
Battle Cossack.
All right, I'm just going to go through this real quick because there's a small handful of honorable mentions.
Oh, well.
Helmets. I tried to look for my favorite suit and only found love within the helmets. Because helmets are big for me.
That is, I agree.
Go-Go 5.
Yep.
Yep.
And I know I'm mincing words here. Time Fire specifically.
Yeah. No.
Not the jagged Time Ranger.
I know exactly what you're thinking. Time Fire took the Time Force concept and said, "Let's make this awesome."
Yeah. It's not that I don't like Time Ranger. They're pretty almost as cool, but Time Fire.
Yeah, Time Jesus. Fire. Fuck.
Gal Ranger. I love those helmets.
The helmets are awesome.
The suits are okay. The helmets are rad.
I like the Gingaman's
helmets. I do like whenever they incorporate an animal into the helmets.
I think Gal Ranger was hit and miss. I like the shark helmet. I like the eagle helmet. Bison was passable. The others I didn't like.
I'm talking like we're talking on a grand scheme here. I just had to think about it because it pops in my head all the time. Favorite specifically Red Ranger design. Red Buster.
Oh,
I just
the
love
Go Busters
it.
It's are so gorgeous.
But see, that's just it. I'm not a huge fan of yellow and blue.
I love blue. Yellow, not so much.
Beaten Stag. Ugh.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But Red Buster is like my favorite Red Ranger ever.
I like Black Puma.
If we're talking, Puma. All right. Now we're talking the big one, the full suit. Go. It's funny because it kind of stems from what stem cell.
It all makes sense!
I'm gonna go clone myself!
I will reach perfection!
Go Riders.
Oh, yeah.
Very specifically. Again, I feel like they took the best parts of what was good with Hurricaneer and just... Time Fire!
Yeah.
Take what's good and make it awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Absolutely.
Go Riders. That's my favorite suit design. Both of them. Fucking gorgeous.
Mm. Fucking took mine.
Okay. Least favorite, Geki Ranger's definitely up there for the same reasons that have been repeated already. I'm not sure if there's any other designs I particularly didn't like. It's gonna go to Geki Ranger and Battle Fever, mostly. Favorites? Gokai Silver has kind of stolen my heart a lot recently since he aired. I think Gokai Silver does the same thing you've been saying. It took Gokaiser and made it more awesome.
Okay, well, if we're quickly picking like a favorite Six Ranger suit, Kiba Ranger.
You did God a thing, and it remembered me to do a thing, but I guess honorable mention, since it's not Sentai, Titanium Ranger.
Yeah!
Oh, there you go.
Favorite suit ever, but we said Sentai, so...
That counts.
Awkward.
We'll let that
Spirit
count.
Spirit Rangers from Jungle Fury.
See, I like the Spirit Rangers.
Because
if
we're talking
elephant
about
man.
Me liking Go-Go 5's mask,
green elephant.
I love... Titanium.
Oh yeah, he's got
everything.
Fucking V.
They better make a figure.
If we're talking about like the first time, and I think you might have just said it, the Kiba.
A Kiba Ranger.
Which is that's what I was about to say. That was to me was just so cool back in the day to watch Power Rangers where you got and like I do like the original Mighty Morphin suits. I think they're cool.
That's
why I have the figure, why I have the sword, and why I have the morpher.
So here's what we gotta do. I gotta make a 3-man team of the Go Riders and the Titanium.
There you go.
Well, there is a third Go Rider, though.
No, I know, and it's super fucking cool, but they're never going to make an SH of that, which makes me sad.
No, a Kiba Ranger was decently popular.
Wayne, you once said that they're one off from having a completely American team.
Yeah, because they have the Titanium Ranger, and then the 3 Spirit Rangers from Jungle Fury were 3 original Power Rangers made.
Honorable mention, perhaps. I don't know if this was in the show that SPD was based off. Was there an Orange Ranger? I know it was just in a dream.
No.
The closest thing was the Cat.
There you go.
The Swan.
There you go. Boom, the Orange Ranger.
Actually, there was a Gold Ranger in SPD.
Was it based off...
She died quickly, though.
Yeah.
Based off the... But that's what I mean. It wasn't Gold, though, right?
No. In Decker Ranger, in the movie, there was a brief mention to a
I'm
Gold
talking
Ranger
about American.
Died. Oh, no. Just aside from Boom's Fantasy Ranger, no.
Ghost Age Green and Ghost Ager.
If we're talking about honorable mentions, Shinken Brown and Go on Wings.
Fuck yeah.
Anyways,
it's good that you mentioned Mighty Morphin, because that leads me to my next point. the one design that made us all fall in love with Power Rangers, the fucking Dragon Ranger.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is definitely up there.
It's Dude. Time Fire before Time Fire was Time Fire.
Yeah, see? It's
that,
the same concept.
That thing where the Green Ranger saga was literally...
I think we can just call that the Sixth Ranger Factor.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing where helps. That thing where the Green Ranger saga was the first part of Power Rangers I ever watched.
Oh, yeah?
That was where I started.
Cool. That was the first episode I ever owned on VHS.
The Green Ranger.
Like, I sat down one morning before school, and that episode, and those episodes were on, and I was like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Actually, nice. Something I want to bring up, probably the most amazingly looking different team, they were villains. I don't know what they were called in the Sentai, the Psycho Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, they were called the Neji Rangers.
The Neji, yeah. Those fucking things looked amazing.
Yeah. And then the Silver Ranger came in and just became the Silver Psycho Ranger to trick them. And I'm like, fucking yeah. Say you're a genius.
Oh, yeah. In terms of evil Rangers, they're definitely the top.
Yeah, like...
Fucking,
especially because they lasted the longest.
A Squad and...
Oh, yeah.
The A Squad and SPD, that was a cool thing where, like, they were the in-space uniforms, but they added to them.
Yeah.
Another quick honorable mention, SPD SWAT mode.
I don't like
SWAT mode. I love Kruger.
Oh, Shadow Ranger?
Yeah, the Shadow Ranger.
Deca Master.
Deca Master. So cool. Mm. The Ranger who gave a reason for his costume.
100,
he killed 100 enemies. Awesome. Yeah, anyways, we've given way more honorable mentions than we should have.
Did we, though?
I feel like this could have been a whole thing.
That's why we haven't done it yet, because the whole rider design thing was its own thing. Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much the show.
Sal, thank you for coming on.
I love being here, guys. I hope to be here again soon.
So make sure you come back after you've caught up on Gaim, and we'll revisit.
Fuck you. I will do no such thing. In fact, I'm going to go in blind next time.
Like you did now.
Yeah, now, if you excuse me, I'm going to run to Ichi's car and get you red helmet for myself.
Stays classy, Sandy Internet.
I'd like to make a shout-out to another podcast I'm on, Room V's. That's Room Movies, but just one word, where we take a look at some... me and my friend Matt Johnson and a few others, we take a look at some movies. We just did one on Airheads. Yay.
Nice. And where can we find that?
Just type in Room V's. And you'll find it on... We have our site.
We got a patent on that shit.
Screw that shit.
Just, roomvs.com.
Okay.
Hang on.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We have the Podbean website. You can follow us on there. Or you can wait for David to get out of the hospital and do the YouTube episodes on the channel.
So next week is Hentai Common, we promise.
We promise.
We'll watch it right now, in fact.
For realsies this time.
Until then, use your imagination.
If it's not, I will wear panties on my head during the next recording.
That's why I'm going to make sure we don't watch
and
it.
We will take pictures.
So many pictures.
Can we withhold every file of Hentai Common from Ichi?
I already have it!
Damn it.
Can we delete it from his person?
No.
Well, I'll just delete it off your computer while you're gone.
I can re-download it at work if I have to.
Damn it.
Make sure he doesn't go to work!
See you later, folks!
Make sure he doesn't go to work.
Later, folks.
Bye-bye.
Use your imagination.
Imagination!
'Pinkcaster Lytrin!
Fuck!
I replaced you.
That's going in the bloopers.
Fuck!
Okay, here we go. Red leather, yellow leather. Northcaster! I forgot.
I'm sorry. Did you just say you forgot your name?
Also, everyone is spiking like an asshole.
That's because he's shouting.
I'm sorry.
I know he's shouting. I'm keeping all of this.
Let me just put that black guy laugh in.
keep that audio. I will put it in,
or DJ
I will put
laughing.
It in pictures and add it
DJ
to the blooper
like a black guy.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. My bad. Northcaster, Cell Saga. Do another one. Northcaster, Cell Saga! One more. Northcaster, Cell Saga! Northcaster, Cell Saga!
It's like in this episode we're just
you ain't
like
that big boy.
We're live. Northcaster, Cell Saga. Northcaster, Cell Saga. Northcaster, Cell Saga.
No, Redcaster, Cell Saga. Bluecaster, Cell Saga. Green, pink, black, whatever, Cell Saga.
And you're just like, no, it's literally the entire podcast just like, hi, I'm Cell Saga. So this isn't going to be about Gaim or any of that shit. Today I'm going to be talking about my
this
penis.
This is now the Great Game
of Thrones extremely
podcast.
Large it is.
It has a birthmark on the lower right side. It's something I've noticed. It creates a bit of a triangle with one on my pelvis and on my leg. I've decided that it marks the way to a treasure map. Not sure where, but I'll figure it out, people. Boobs.
Also, he's a sexy little baby.
I am a sexy little baby. Seriously, all the ladies and all the guys out there, come on, I know you all want me inside you. That's how I roll.
I love you, Carol.
I love you, baby.
This episode is already great, and we haven't even started!